Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Hey, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is your opportunity to pick up the phone, ask that question that's been keeping you up at night. And remember, what you don't know can hurt you. So you need to ask those questions to make sure, particularly when you're planning your retirement, to make sure you have all the questions to your answers. Remember, your retirement is yours, not somebody else's. How you retire is totally going to be depending upon what you do and the decisions you make today and tomorrow. So we welcome your calls. To pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. And I'm here in the studio today, but I have also on the line Bo Caldwell, who's calling in from unknown sources. But Bo, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chuck.
How are things going on the home front?
They're good. I'm wrestling the Grundunes. You know, it's just one against three, but I think I'll make it.
Yeah, you know, as a parent, you just have to survive those times.
That's right. Survive in advance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going on now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We raised four children, so I certainly can appreciate what you're saying. You know, and any parent who for a weekend has to watch their kids know exactly what Bo and I are talking about. So it's not always the easy task, and I think it's a little harder for us guys because I think women are better adept at doing that and are very much more knowledgeable than you and I are on rearing kids. So it's tough when we're home for a weekend alone and we got to take care of them. It's a tough job.
Yeah, well, it's not even just that they're more adept, and I think they're more patient. I think that, you know, they're just better at things than we are. And we don't like to maybe admit it, but my wife's definitely better at a lot of things, and one of them is handling the multiple children at once. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. Well, listen, Bo, we've got a lot to go over this week. The markets were pretty volatile, but still heading in an upward motion, even though yesterday was kind of a disaster. But the markets are still continuing in an upward motion overall. And you were going to talk today a little bit about interest rate cycles.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of cover that a little bit with, you know, a lot of the talking heads on, you know, whatever particular business program people like to watch. They mentioned the inversion of the yield curve and how that's a recessionary signal or a possible recessionary signal. So I wanted to cover that, you know, at some point today, just because I know folks will have questions about that.
Yeah, and you know, I was just going to take a quick look here and see the 10-year rate actually went down again this week, and it went down to 2.455.
Right, and the 3-year rate, I believe, is at 2.46. So that's what they call an inversion of the yield curve, which means that normally, you know, folks require more of an interest rate in order to lock up their money longer term. You know, if you think about a CD at the bank, a one-year CD is usually going to pay you less interest than a five-year or, you know, even a 10-year CD. And so what economists look at is they look at seeing, okay, well, if, you know, if there's a longer-term treasury rate on the 10-year, we should be getting paid more interest. And actually, the interest rate has gone down, like you said, on the treasury rate. And folks will know, but the reason that the interest rates on those go down, that's not actually set by the Fed. A lot of people think that that 10-year treasury is set by the Fed. But what actually happens is as people get scared of the market, as people just want quality, safer investments, they buy more of those bonds, which means, and you know this, Chuck, but folks may not know, when more bonds are being bought, that means that the price of them goes up, right? Because the demand for them is higher, so then you have to pay more for them. But when a bond's price goes up, the interest rate goes down. The yield is what it's called. The yield goes down on it because it's not the rate you're getting is the same, but the yield you actually get goes down. And so economists see that as a signal that maybe the market is getting towards recession. And was just wanted to kind of talk with, if people hear that on the news, the gentleman who studied that and discovered that back in the, I believe it was in the 1980s from Duke University, who came up with, you know, with the model that shows that, has cautioned that, hey, it happened for one day. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a recessionary trigger, but if it continues to be inverted for a couple of months, then what they say is on a model basis, you know, a majority of the time, that means that the economy is headed towards a recession in the next 9 to 18 months. So yeah, it kind of fits in with the narrative that you and I have talked about, that, hey, we may keep going up for the next, you know, 6 to 10 months. But then after that, we see that there should be some correction, maybe a recession coming, which is, as you well know, is not necessarily the worst thing ever, as long as you have a strategy for combating that.
Yeah, I actually have been saying for years that I think that 2020 is going to be the year we have another market similar to 2008. And it's just that it's due. It's almost overdue. And I think that's going to happen. On the other front, with this interest rate, one of the exciting things, too, that for home buyers, which is going to help people trying to sell their home, the 30-year mortgage rate went down to 4.5%. So it's well under that 5% number. So people who want to go out and buy a home, and if they can get the financing, 4.5% is a very favorable rate on a 30-year mortgage.
Oh, yeah. It's still even historically low. I think people have noticed, you know, that we've gotten, and I'm subject to this too, is, you know, we've gotten and seen that down in the threes, and now it's at 4.5 or 5, and people are, you know, grinching and squeaking about that. But, you know, you well know 20 years ago that if you could, you would have been, you know, doing backflips if you could have gotten your mortgage at 4.5 or 5.
Oh, man, you're talking to a guy who was buying a home back when interest rates went into the double digits. And so, fortunately, the highest I ever paid on a home mortgage was 7.75%. But I had a lot of friends who had 12 and 14% mortgage rates.
Goodness. And there was a time when 12 and 14 was good, right?
I mean, those were you had to have great credit history, and those were really good rates because right after that, some really bad rates came. So, interest rates run in cycles just like everything else. And, I'll tell you, right now, for the person buying a home, these are still very, very favorable long-term rates.
Oh, yeah, totally. I agree. I mean, if you can, the cost of financing being that low is just greater. You know, what I've talked to a lot of folks about lately is, if not necessarily buying a home, but if they're in their, what, you know, we call it a quote unquote forever home, but is, you know, possibly looking at refinancing into either a 15-year mortgage maybe, or refinancing to a lower rate, because there's still a lot of people out there with 6 or 7% interest rates. And if you can get down to 4.5%, then it's worth the closing cost possibly to get you that much lower of a price, or go down to a 15-year mortgage and then you can have the home paid off that much earlier. I mean, I know that's something that we talk about a lot, is, you know, mortgage debt is the best kind of debt, quote unquote, right? Because you can at least write off some of the interest. But still, that just means to me that I'm paying the bank some interest rather than earning it by investing it. So
yeah, you still owe somebody for the use of their money. And even if you get to write it off, even if you're in a 40% bracket, you're still paying a 2-2.5% rate. So you're paying somebody for the money. But we try to encourage our clients who are retired to have their house paid off before they retire, because that's one of those things. You're going to always have an increasing cost on your home. You're going to have an increasing cost as you got upkeep. But you also have that thing called property tax. And yeah, it seems like each year our property taxes and the valuation of our property goes up, and our property tax goes up proportionally. So when you buy a home, you really never totally own it, because even if you don't own it and you're not making mortgage payments, you still got to pay the tax on it.
Right. And, you know, if folks are living, you know, I live in Multnomah County here in Portland, and that's just, you know, it's crazy talk how much that, you know, all the taxes are going up on the, you know, property tax level. And, you know, people think about, hey, that's the, you know, biggest asset and the most appreciated asset. A lot of people think about it that way when you own a home, that's the one thing a lot of people aspire to in that sort of American dream situation. But you're absolutely right. People don't count on that property tax and then insurance too, because you're not going to not have homeowners insurance on your house, right? I mean, I know they require it when you have a mortgage, but I can't see any reason not to have
homeowners insurance. I personally think you'd be an idiot if you didn't have homeowners coverage on your home, because you have it paid off, because that is a monumental loss. If you had a fire or something happen, that would be a very, very high-risk thing to not cover that house.
Yeah, totally. I absolutely agree. Yeah, it would be like having to start all over again once you've just paid it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hear the same thing you do, and I always tell people, look, I own my house, but by gosh, I still got fire insurance on it, and I got liability insurance on it, because you never know what could happen. And I don't mind paying the deductible, but I sure wouldn't want to have to pay the whole amount to rebuild it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's a bigger cost than you think, too.
Yeah, there's a thing called pound wise and penny foolish. And that is pretty foolish if you're not paying the fire and protection on your home, even though you own it.
Right. It's a relatively low cost comparatively to, if you think about the replacement value. And sure, there's, you know, most likely nothing's going to happen, and that's why the insurance is relatively cheap. And I was just talking to, you know, a couple of our clients yesterday about, you know, insurance companies are not in the business of not making money.
You know, that's right.
You know, they're spreading the risk. But at the same time, for a relatively low cost to be able to protect that much of an asset, it just, like you said, it's silly to try and save the pennies when you could, you know, it doesn't cost a whole lot to cover it.
Yeah, it's the same thing as, you know, just because you own your car doesn't mean you don't have liability coverage and protection on your car if something happens. Now, a car is a lot less than a home to replace, but if you have a fairly new car, the replacement of that car is pretty expensive.
Oh, well, absolutely. And what do they say when you drive it off the lot, it loses like 30% of its value or something like that? I mean, I don't know what that number is, but, you know, that your car has been depreciating in value, but to replace it, the replacement value on it's really high.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I can turn around and sell it. I can't sell it for what I bought it for, but don't think about it that way. Think about what you'd have to pay to get a new one if something happened.
That's right. Hey, listen, Bo, we're going to take a quick break. And listen, listeners, pick up the phone, give Bo and Chuck a call, 503-417-9595. If you're in the outlying areas or on the podcast, you can reach us at 1-877-733-1011. And don't miss our weekly podcast on thatcast.com. That's thatcast.com. Or you can go on investingsimplifiedradio.com and catch all our podcast and radio shows. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to pick up the phone and give us a call and ask that question that's been keeping you up at night. You know, Bo, I'm going to talk a little bit about, we've got a, looks like we're going to be having the phone lines kind of lit up a little bit, so I may be breaking away here real quick for a caller, but I'm going to talk a little bit about one of the major differences between RIAs and advisors that are with a broker-dealer, because there is a difference. RIAs, we look at our investments, which is in the best interest of our client. If you're with a broker-dealer or your advisor's with a broker-dealer, they have to offer what's through the broker-dealer. They can't go outside the broker-dealer. That's against the regulations. And sometimes, being an RIA, it's a distinct advantage. And I'm going to go into one right here, right after we have a call, but I'm going to talk about a company that just got fined in January $1 billion in penalties and forfeited profits for operating a Ponzi scheme. And this is a scheme that was, unfortunately, some broker-dealers used it. We had numerous clients calling me, asking me about this particular investment. I went and studied it. I came back and said, no, do not buy it. And boy, thank goodness we did that, because the end result was not good. Listen, we've got a caller on the line. Lee's got a question about morally responsible mutual funds. Okay, are you there, Lee? I think Lee's a longtime call-in guy that we talk to once in a while. And Lee, are you there? We must be having a snafu with our line there. So
I think you can blame me. You know, I'm calling in. And
oh, okay. Our engineer's having a little problem on the call, so we will get right with Lee. But I do want to talk about this Ponzi scheme, and this is the one thing I tell all of our clients. If somebody's offering to put you into a limited partnership or a real estate investment trust, you really got to do your homework, because the general partner on that project is the guy who's calling all the shots. They can basically do whatever they want to do, and you're the minority partner. You really have no say other than the fact that your money's in the investment. And if the investment goes south, you take the risk of your investment going south. There was a company out here called Woodbridge Group, and its owner, and they were charged by the SEC $1 billion in penalties and forfeited profits. They were ordered to repay $892 million in ill-gotten profits. The court order issued late December also ordered Shapiro to pay a $100 million civil penalty. He was the owner and president of the company. He was also ordered to return $18.5 million of ill-gotten gains plus $2.1 million for a prejudgment interest return back to the clients. This is a Florida state real estate developer. You know, I had clients call me and ask me about the investment and said, okay, I think we're ready to go, Michael, on that call. Okay. Lee, are you there? We're still having difficulty. So I don't know if Lee, you might want to call back and see on a different line. I think there's a problem on the line. Yeah, Michael, are we set? Okay.
It could be a problem with me, too.
Okay.
If I called in.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know. But I think it depends on where she's calling from, and I think that's the problem. But anyway, I do want to talk about this because I had clients call me, and in fact, we discussed this on the show about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I was telling clients who called me, and actually one client called me, sent me the information, and said they wanted to spend the money on this investment. I looked at it, and it just didn't feel right. It didn't look right. The numbers didn't match. And you know what the old saying, Bo, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
And if somebody's offering you an interest rate of 7.5%, and they're also paying the broker 7%, and they're giving you 7.5%, they got to make 14.5% right out of the box.
Right.
That's a little difficult to do.
Right. Well, I talk to folks about, they come and say, hey, we have this high dividend or this high interest paying thing, right? If I go and apply for a mortgage and you go apply for a mortgage, this is the analogy I use, and the bank says, well, Chuck, we'll give you the mortgage at 3%, Bobo, you know, it's going to take, you're going to have to pay 7.5% or 8%. Why do they do that? And it's because I'm a bigger risk, right? So when companies are saying we're offering these big amounts of returns, to me that's a red flag, because that seems like they have to be taking a certain amount of risk with our money.
Yeah, and sometimes that risk doesn't work.
Yeah.
You, the investor, are the one who's going to pay for it, because if that thing goes, the managing general partner usually receives fees and expenses, and when they walk away, they walk away, and you walk away, you get very little, if any, on your investment. And many people in this were lucky that the SEC stepped in and declared this a in fact, this particular guy, Shapiro, that ran this company, he actually had diverted $21 million to himself, splurging on country club fees, charter planes, luxury vehicles, and jewelry. Good. You know, I mean, these are the kind of things, you know, you hear about and you think, oh, my gosh. But I got to tell you, I bet there's a lot of Oregonians, because I know there were people out pushing this product, and because I know I got calls from numerous clients who had brokers and other investment advisors calling them, telling them, hey, you got to put your money in this thing. You're going to get 7.5% monthly interest. And and that was a pretty good rate. And people were doing it and saying, well, in fact, I had one person tell me, now, I think you're totally wrong. I'm putting $100,000 in it. I said, I wouldn't do that. And they said, nah, you're wrong. I said, well, I might be wrong. But guess what? I'm not.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, it's the same thing on some real estate investment trusts that I've seen throughout the years. Some of them sound really good and really great. But when you look at it, and a lot of advisors don't tell people the total truth about the REIT they're selling them, that there's maybe a 10% front-end fee on it, and the broker might get 7 or 8, management may get 2.5 or whatever. But the fact is, there are a lot of fees and charges built in to real estate investment trusts. Nobody invests your money for free. And I'm just going to bring up a point. Schwab has an ad on TV where they talk about that they will manage your money and actually return the fee. Well, actually, that's against the Securities Exchange Commission. They can't return the fee. You got to read all the print, because I did call the regulators and asked them about that ad, because to me it looked like the ad was totally illegal. And it's not, because they have the disclaimer on the screen, and you're supposed to read it. You're supposed to read super fast, but they're saying they disclosed it, so it's disclosed. But the fact is, nobody in the investment world works for free. We work on fees. We work on, in some products we get commissions on. When you disclose those to our clients, we explain the difference to our clients. But we work primarily on fee. We're basically a fee-based advisory firm. But the one thing that's always consistent that we do is we disclose to our clients the fees in our particular investment program, and we also explain to them how we get paid. We have no problem in doing that. We think, as a fiduciary, that is a responsibility we have. But I can tell you, I have sat down with people who advisors put them in, you know, 20% of their portfolio in a REIT, and 20% and maybe 20% in that, and then maybe 40% in another in mutual fund investment, and then 40% in an annuity, and that kind of a spread. Never explaining to the client the fees and the internal costs of that product or of the variable annuity product they're in, which some of those can be as high as 3.6 to 4.6% internal return. But some of your charges on real estate investment trusts can be several percent per year and a very large fee on the upfront side. So you as a buyer, it never hurts to get a second opinion if somebody's going to put you into a product that is going to be tied up for 7 to 10 years or longer, to understand the total cost and the fees involved in the portfolio. You know, it's just buyer beware. You want to sit down and look it over. And we tell people, look, we have, Bo or I do not have any problems in giving you a second opinion. We'll tell you what we honestly think about it, not to try to dissuade you, but to try to give you the best knowledge we can of it. Some of the things we see, though, in all honesty, like when I looked at this Woodbridge thing, I thought, my gosh, there's just not enough stuff disclosed here. I would not put my money in it, and I would not have a client put their money in it. And that's really, I think, the test for the advisor. We used to call it, you know, Bo, back in when I first got in the business, my trainer who trained me in selling investments and securities, he always said to me, Chuck, you got to do the mother test. And I said, what the heck is a mother test? And he said, well, if that was your mother sitting across the table from you, would you have your mother buy that investment? If you could, yeah. If you can look the client in the eye and say, you know what, I would even put my own mother in this investment. If you would do that, okay. But if you can't say that, then you maybe need to back the truck up and do something else.
Right.
Because you shouldn't be offering it to them unless it would fit if that was your mother sitting across the table. And I just think that's a good rule to have, even in today's world. Of course, we now have things that we didn't have back then, like you have to qualify for buying an investment, and you have to have the financial net worth and the total income and stuff of the people buying the investments. And it's a little different, and you have to have a risk tolerance. Now, when you're offering an investment, you have to know the risk tolerance of the client sitting across the table from you. And the risk tolerance of somebody with $3 million is totally different than the risk tolerance of somebody with only $100,000 to invest. There's a big difference there in what you should or could offer them to invest in. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified. Listen, if you want to ask a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. Here's your choice. You can listen to Bo and I talk back and forth, or you can call and ask us a question. So we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Okay, we're back with Investing Simplified, and the caller who tried to call in was somebody different than I thought it was, and what the question was, do we have any faith-based investment programs that people can get into? And there are many, many different kinds of, there are faith-based, there are environmental-based investments that you can get into. Many of the mutual funds offer them. Socially conscious investments. There are fee-based managed products that offer those. And if a person really wants to invest money either in a faith-based or a environmental-based or socially conscious-based, we have investments that can help fill that place in your investment portfolio. And Bo, this is something that's gotten more and more popular.
Yeah, it's all about what you're looking for. You know, a lot of times people have certain, I don't want to call it hostilities, but certain, you know, they feel oogie about certain companies or certain investments. And, you know, it kind of goes along with the risk tolerance that you mentioned before, where is based on how much risk folks are willing to tolerate. There's a certain amount of how much investing in certain countries that the folks are willing to tolerate, or investing in certain industries. And really the reality, the answer to that question, like you said, is there, you can invest in just about everything under the sun specifically, but depending on how specific you want to get, like you said before, there's always a cost to investing. And sometimes the only caveat that I put out there on the socially responsible or faith-based investing is if those funds have to do a lot more, you know, active management, if they have to do a lot more specific identification of companies and of funds, and that may come at a cost. I'm not as familiar with the faith based as the socially responsible, but if you're willing to have that internal cost, that may be a little bit higher, and particularly in the socially responsible space, it used to be that cost more and didn't perform as well, but lately, in the recent last couple of years, they've performed really well, those socially responsible funds, and I would imagine it's similar style with the faith base.
Yeah, and I think it depends on what your priority is. It is your money, in fact, they were asking for a list of mutual funds they can invest in that are Christian based and honoring to God. So I'm not as familiar with that as I am to the socially conscious, but we would have to look at that, and maybe in a later show we'll come up with some different portfolios, and we'll talk about them on the show, Bo, that are environmentally and also Christian-based investment portfolios.
Yeah,
About this, I kind of want to make sure to clarify this, and Bo and I are both believers, and I got to say there are advisors throughout the country, and I got a recent story somebody sent to me about a guy in Texas that was preaching on the air on his financial show, getting people to take their money and invest their money with him because of his faith, and putting it into what he was calling faith-based, and really what it was his back pocket. The thing I think you got to be very, very careful with is if you're working with an individual or somebody on that basis, they're not doing it based on that with you. Maybe the portfolios they're putting you into are either environmentally or financially faith or whatever. But you want to make sure that the person you're working with is a fiduciary. And not always does that mean they're going to be above board. But I'll tell you, if somebody's investing with you and saying, let's sit down and pray about our investments together, that's not professional to do. And we don't do that. And we think there's a fine line there between influencing people and leading people incorrectly. And we just think that there's an ethical line there that you should not cross. And unfortunately, throughout the country, this has happened in several places. So I would caution you on that if you're dealing with somebody who's operating that way, because that's not the way we operate. And I really don't think that is a good way to be operating. But we'll provide some different funds and different investments that you can use to do both ways. And then it gives you something to study and take a look at. But
it's worth noting that we're not making a recommendation either way over the year. We're happy to do that for folks when they come in and sit down with us. But we're more than happy. You know, that it's worth saying, if other folks have other questions about a specific type of investment, not necessarily whether or not to invest in it, but just if we could get them some info. That's, we talk about that all the time, right? Information is power. So
yep,
we're happy to find those out and do that legwork for folks to find out the names of them. But it's one of those things we'll always caution you to do your due diligence and make sure it's something that's right for you, because without us getting together and doing all those things that you mentioned, the risk tolerance, the different meetings of getting to know their situation, and we're not sure it's going to work for everybody or for you.
Yeah, and like you said, knowledge is power, and it never hurts to get a second opinion. Second opinions are kind of a good thing to have, particularly if you're putting a lot of your own money into it. Well, I got another little segment here I'd like to add in today, and I got this from a friend of mine who I've known for about 25 years, and him and I share notes because he does a radio show in the Southwest. And so we've kind of been friends, kind of go back and forth and share ideas with each other. And he sent me a little thing that he put together, and he calls it The Inconvenient Truth About Retirement. And it's some unpleasant concerns financial salespeople don't tell you about retirement. Many so-called advisors just paint a rosy picture, and they really don't go through strategies about what's going to happen to your portfolio if we get hit by a recession, inflation, health problems. All these things can totally upset your pleasant lifestyle. And then the nightmare begins. But the fact is, if you don't have a strategy for retirement, if your strategy is just diversification without any other strategy, you set yourself up for failure. Because diversification by itself is not an answer to long-term sustaining of principal and investment portfolios. It's not the total answer. You need to have strategies. What you're going to do if the market tanks? What are you going to do if the market rallies and has a really great 2 or 3 years? What are you going to do? You need to have a strategy. Here's a couple of questions that he put into his statement that he did. It's number one, will you be a burden to your family as you age? Will you have to sacrifice your quality of life in retirement in order to help other financially struggling family members? You know, a lot of our clients who have done a great job investing and retiring, but when they get into retirement and get into older ages, many of their other younger family members are just going to college or just starting their life out. And a lot of times these grandparents feel an obligation to help those grandkids and end up spending a lot of the money they discipline for into that, which could jeopardize them having enough money for as long as they may be around. Do you fear being lonely in retirement? Will you fall short and outlive your savings and investments, not to mention taxes and inflation? Where should you live in retirement? You know, back to that home. Is a home better? You're going to still be paying property tax? Or is being in a retirement community a better, safer opportunity for you in retirement? there's also another unspoken one that nobody ever talks about. And unfortunately, I could tell a story here, and I feel bad about telling it because it was to one of my best friends growing up. But nobody ever talks about silver gray divorce. People who are married, you know, 40, 50 years, and they get in retirement, and they find out that once they're retired and they're both home together all day long, that they really don't get along that well, and they end up getting divorced. Years ago, when I was a lot younger than I am now, I had somebody walk into my office of a parent of one of my best friends in grade school. And these people, I mean, I lived at their house a lot. Their oldest son was my best friend in grade school for a couple years until they moved. But him and I spent a lot of time together, really good friends, played sports together. And I looked at his mom and dad as almost like second parents to me in a way. And here his dad walks in, and his wife was divorcing him after 55 years of marriage and decided she was going to marry her childhood sweetheart and divorce him after all these years. And I got to tell you, as a young man at the time, it totally affected me because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, oh my God, do I want to be at his age at this time in life and to be having to go through a divorce? And he had no control over the situation. And from a financial standpoint, things broke out okay because he had a good pension, she had a good pension, and they divided up their assets, and they both came out okay financially. But emotionally, it was a very difficult thing. It was a very difficult thing for me to do it in that I had to face this unhappy truth of people I grew up with seeing this marriage deteriorate at an older age for this couple, people that I totally respected and grew up looking at as model parents and really good people. The one thing it did do is get their son and me back, and we got in contact and stuff again and kind of caught up through the years, but it wasn't exactly a happy time. The thing is, you have to do planning. You have to do planning for whatever can happen. And the thing is, nobody likes to plan failure, whether it be in your married life, your investment portfolio, your retirement portfolio, or business. But the fact is, if you do good planning and you have planning set up, like maybe a living trust or at least a will, healthcare directives, at least at that point when things change, you have a basis to go from, and you can take care of things because life is going to happen. The thing is, what really determines how we come out is how we react when life happens to us. And that's the thing that nobody knows. We really don't know. The thing I'm trying to point out here to you is, you need to really sit down, take some time, plan your retirement. We're here to help you. Bo and I are here to answer questions and to go over and give you a second opinion on your portfolio or your investment strategy or your estate planning strategy. We can give you a second opinion, and we'll be very honest with you what we think. If you decide to do something with us, that's great. If you don't, that's fine too. But we'll be more than happy to sit down with you and give you a unbiased fiduciary recommendation. And then it's up to you what you want to do with that. But the thing I am saying is most people spend more time planning family vacations than they do their retirement planning. If you're listening to that show and you haven't sat down and got your house in order, this is the time to do it because none of us have any guarantee of tomorrow. That's just a fact of life. And I just got to say, my friend, I told him, I called him when he sent me this, and I said, oh, man, this brings up a lot of feelings to me personally as a person. And I just want to say to our listeners out there that this is kind of a wake-up call to say, listen, get your house in order, get your planning in order, and get it taken care of. Because whatever you have in place is going to be what's going to happen if something happens to you. After you pass away or after you have a stroke and you can't do anything, then everything you have in place is the way things are going to be. It's very difficult for your heirs to go back in and change the living trust or the will or the beneficiary designation because those things are in stone. They're not going to change. So you've got to do the planning. We're going to take one more quick break, and then we're going to come back with the Knowledge Trust with Bo and I and just have a little general discussion about the markets and investing. You're listening to Investing Simplified. You still got time if you want to call in and ask a question. Pick up the phone, 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. We've gotten a lot of text messages and emails here. And unfortunately, we don't have Kevin, the CPA, here. So several of these are about taxes, and I'm referring them to Kevin to get back to you. So we'll have Kevin get back to you. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Well, we're back with Investing Simplified. Bo, have you got any additional things you want to add?
Yeah, well, there were just a couple of things that stuck out to me. You know, really, your story, I know I'm not alone listening to, you know, you talk about that, that's just, it's so hard when, you know, something like that comes up, and especially for you having that, you know, a father figure, a secondary father figure, a secondary mother figure, parental figure that went through that. But even not just that as an example, but the big one that sticks out to me that spoke to me when you're talking about getting your house in order is we have so many clients, and I know there are people out there that either you're married or, you know, they're domestic partners, and one partner handles the finances and handles, you know, everything with the having to do with the will or the trust. And unfortunately, like you said, tomorrow's not guaranteed. And a lot of times, I can't tell you how many times it's been really difficult to have that conversation with the widower, with the surviving spouse or surviving partner, and they don't know where everything is. And you know, fortunately, in my career, I've been able to have a relationship with that spouse prior to, so they had somebody to call. They knew who to call for all that info. But a big part of that is, you know, for me, with the planning side of it, is make sure that even if they don't want to be involved in the actual investment planning or the nitty-gritty of it, but they know who your trusted people are to call. They know who the trustee of your trust is, or they know who, you know, who your investment professional and your estate attorney are, and are on a, you know, a first name basis with them. Because otherwise, you know, we tell clients all the time, don't do anything for 6 months, you know, as a rule of thumb, you're going through a terrible time. But if you haven't planned for it and haven't let them know what the plan is, it makes it a lot harder for them.
Yeah, you're so right, Bo. You know, we run into so many people where one of the spouses does all the bill paying, all the investing. They do everything. They know where everything is, and a lot of times the other spouse has no clue.
Right.
And in many cases, they don't want to know. But like we try to counsel them when we're sitting down talking to them, and we go through those tough questions with them. we tell them, listen, at least you need to know, you need to get a hold of us, come in and sit down, and we'll help you, and we'll work with you, and we'll help you get organized, because it is hard. It is very hard, and sometimes one spouse doesn't want to know, doesn't want to be involved in it. And but when that day happens, they have no choice.
Right.
So, yeah, it's great advice.
Us, you know, at least if they know us or know who to call, like you said, we're there to help. That's our, you know, that's why people work with us. So just a way to bring the, you know, the show down, though, Chuck. You know, just we were all happy before and then you made it serious.
Well, I got to tell you, I will say this for all of you Mariner fans out there, and I happen to be one, because I would encourage anybody who's retirement age, or if you're taking retirement, if you're going to do a vacation in the winter, I highly recommend you go down to, if you like baseball, go down to spring training and watch the Mariners. And I got to say, I am pleasantly surprised the Mariners won their very first two games this past week of the opening season. They opened up in Japan. And they won the first two games, and I got to honestly say, this is probably going to be the only time all year the Mariners are in first place. Because they played the first two games, they won both games. Because I got to tell you, having watched the Mariners for many, many years, I think it's something like 14 of the players on their roster last year are gone.
Wow.
So they definitely took a reload. And emptied out the coffers, and really did a lot of trading. So virtually, there's only a couple of guys in the starting lineup that were even in the on the team last year.
Wow.
And so it's going to be a long season for us Mariner fans. But on a happy note, then we'll leave this on a happy note. On a happy note, the Mariners are in first place. They're 2-0. And I don't know about you, Bo, but I could hardly wait for Russell Wilson and his, I think it's called Portland Diamond, I think is what they're calling it.
Portland Diamond Project.
I can hardly wait for that project, because I would love to have a professional team in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, man. How great would that be?
I would be, I got to tell you, on afternoons, if they were playing, I would not be in the office. I'd be going to the game.
He's giving me a heads up.
Giving you a heads up. If we get a team here, I am going to be at the ball game. And I got to believe that I really believe Portland could support a professional team, particularly if we had a nice stadium with a dome. So in those crappy, rainy summers, once in a while, that we have, we could still play ball and not get soaking wet.
Yeah, something like, doesn't Safeco, can they close the roof there, or is that not?
And actually, just so my listeners and we don't get sued by Safeco, it's now T-Mobile.
Oh, sorry.
They changed the name of Safeco. T-Mobile, it's now called T-Mobile, and they have a cool rolling top that moves and opens and closes, and I've been lucky or unlucky enough to be there when I was at a ball game and it was raining and they started closing. It takes about 30 minutes to close that roof.
Wow.
And then once it's closed, then they don't want to redo it unless they have to. And I don't know what the cost is, but I'm sure it's costly. Hey, Bo, also want to mention about our West Side location.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, we have a West Side location. You know, for folks that have been listening for a long time, I know I've met with, you know, several folks over there on the West Side of town that haven't had a chance to get in. You know, us Portlanders, we don't like to cross the river. You know, it's a it's a pretty common thing. People don't like to go back and forth across the river. But our office is, you know, for folks that are on the West Side, or is just down the road from the Lowe's on 72nd Avenue, right there, 217 and the 72nd exit. We're right off the highway there, 7105 Southwest Varnes Street with a V. and we're right on the bottom floor. We got a nice office over there, so it's not a place you can stop by like our East Side office, but we're happy to meet you over there if you give our office a call and make an appointment.
Yeah, and you can meet Bo or myself over there. We schedule appointments over there. And listen, we're located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103. Our phone number is 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE if you're calling long distance. Thank you very much for listening to Investing Simplified. Bo and Chuck will be back with you next Saturday for another hour of the fastest hour on the radio. We'll be back then with Investing Simplified. God bless and be safe out there. And go have some fun with kids that are on spring break, and watch out driving because there's going to be a lot of kids out playing.
Price Financial Group, wealth management. Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.